of the sponsor, Christina Leavenworth with Levin Rinke Realty.
Good morning. Welcome back to Pep Talk, News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable, 850-437-1620 if you want to be part of the conversation today. In studio with me is Christina Leavenworth from Levin Rinke and her co-worker Diana. Welcome back to the show.
Hello. Hi, thank you. How are you?
I'm great. How about you?
Good, good. I mean, it's been a stressful few days, I think, for everyone in the Pensacola area and in Florida. So we're definitely, our hearts and prayers are out for everyone in that direct path of that storm.
Yeah, absolutely. The hurricane is in the Gulf and on its way to that Big Bend area. And
yes.
We'll see what happens with it. So actually, it's a good first topic. So obviously you sell homes, and so people are moving to Florida, probably thinking about hurricanes. How important are things like hurricane shutters and other things people need to have on their house for?
So it's really fun when you're showing a house and they see these little pegs coming out from the sides of the windows and people go, what is that? Mm-hmm. I'm like, oh my goodness, let me tell you. And I explain hurricane shutters and how they work, but they are so perplexed by them. They're like, wait, so it's this fabric thing that goes on. So we definitely do some hurricane education. And when they learn about it, it's huge, but also it helps the insurance. That's the biggest thing. Those hurricane shutters are, you get one of the biggest credits when it comes to insurance. So when I talk to my insurance agents, they say, like, if there's one thing you can do, add the shutters. And you can get people to come out to your house and retrofit it. Diana, when you're out and about, when you talk about things that help in hurricanes, how do buyers respond?
They're typically like, okay, what's the list that I need to be prepared for hurricanes? I was like, you just need to be sure to have those hurricane shutters, the pegs. It's one of those biggest things. Also, the storm impact doors, that's another thing. I know yesterday I was at a new construction inspection, and the inspector was like, this doesn't have the impact sticker on the garage door, which typically helps for insurance costs too. So there's a lot of things that help for hurricanes, but also to keep in mind, it also helps for insurance costs.
That's interesting. Yeah, my neighbor has like metal shutters that, you know, close over the top of her windows. I've also heard about the fabric as well. Is there one that's like preferred over the other in terms of what insurance looks at?
I mean, hurricane impact windows and doors, they're very expensive, but those are great because you don't have to get on your ladder and start putting things up. Mm-hmm. So out on the beach, you'll see a lot of hurricane impact windows and doors. Inland, you're not going to see it as much because of the price. You're mostly going to see those fabric shields. Back in the day, there was different organizations that would give you those metal shutters. You could apply, and they could do it. It changes all the time. Now you get a credit if you do hurricane hardening. There's different options out there. Mm-hmm. But definitely reach out to us, and we can tell you all the options available. And sadly, this is the time of year everyone thinks about it. In the summertime, when you're out on your boat and you're just enjoying the beach, you're like, hurricane shmurricanes. But then you get into it, and you're like, oh my goodness, I need shutters. I need a whole home generator. Because it becomes real.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. So for people that don't want to go that route and they're the ones cutting up the plywood, and is that as beneficial, or is that something that people should be really stay away from and try to actually put the shutters on the house?
Honestly, I am not an insurance person, and I've never tried plywood, so I'm really not sure. I'm not sure if they fit perfectly. I think anything is better than nothing. So
yes,
anything's better
is
than
true.
Nothing. Get it on there to at least try, because the whole premise is that if you can protect the windows because you're not allowing air to get in, it protects the roof. So that is what we're trying to do here, is just make sure that no air gets in, to make sure your roof stays on pretty much.
Yeah.
But we do have some great data. Diana and I just got back from a real estate conference talking about the future, talking about 2025, what to expect. Diana, we did get some good stats. Why don't you share some of those?
Yes, we sure did. So last week we went to a real estate conference, which I'm always a big fan of going to. Christina's heard this before. Ever since I was a young girl, I've always wanted to go to conferences. One of the biggest things that came up in the conference was, you know, we are seeing slower times in the real estate market, but this is what it typically looks like in the past election years. And after election years, we're also going to see, you know, a healthier market, which is one of the things that really caught my attention. And the big word here is typically. So that's one thing to keep in mind. We've had a rough couple past years, but the good news is we're going to start seeing a healthier market. And I think that's one thing that's keeping us positive for 2025.
So here, like, these are, I love stats. You guys know I'm a real estate geek, nerd, all of it. So in October and November, every single year people are like, oh, it feels slow. It feels slow. So it typically goes down around 9% in October and November. However, in an election year, it goes down 15%. Mm. So it's 6% more, which isn't a huge amount, but that little schmidge makes you feel like it's a lot more. And after every single, almost after every single election in history, no matter who won, real estate sales go up, real estate prices go up, and interest rates go down. There are a few exceptions to that rule. In 2008, of course, prices went down. We had a few times where sales went down in 1980 and 1988. But that's what they're saying. So if you are on the fence of buying right now, it might be a good time to buy, because once those interest rates go down, we are going to see more people out there. And the Fed, with them dropping those rates, we've had a much busier week just since they've done that. And even with everyone speculating about the hurricane and kind of staying tight, we have so many showings today, and they're on the water. And I even like suggested these agents that are showing our listings, like, do you want to maybe show it tomorrow when the sun is out? But we have two showings on waterfront homes today. And, you know, over $1 million, you don't have as many showings.
Yeah.
Because not everyone can afford it. Not everyone's pre-approved for that. But on two of our very expensive listings on the water, people want to see those homes today. So people are out buying and shopping right now. So if you are thinking about getting your home on the market, let's talk, because they are projecting that 2025 will be a busy year.
Yes.
Okay. We do have a phone call for
you.
Yay! Nathan is on the line with a question for you. Go ahead, Nathan.
Hey, yes, Christina, hi. Thanks for taking my call. I got a question about valuation of a home. We bought a home on the water. Ironically, there you were just talking about it. And it did not have a seawall. So we put in a seawall, and then we also redid the dock with that through flow material. Just wondering if basically dollar for dollar I'll get that back if I end up selling the house.
That is so attractive, having that. If you are living on the water, you see the value of that. So your buyer is going to say, oh my gosh, I know how much money he spent. I know that. Those are very expensive. A dock like that's probably $100,000 these days. And then the seawall as well. So it's going to help your marketability. And I do believe that will impact your dollar value for sure. Finding the right buyer, though, that finds it valuable. There are some random people out there that don't want that flow through dock, but most people, if you're living on the water, you want your toys. You're going to want to have your boat out there. You're going to want to fish off there. So having that, and knowing in storms it holds up so much better, is a huge thing. So I think you made a great move.
All right, great. Thanks.
Yeah, no problem. Have a great day. And that was a great question, and you were talking about it a second ago, even talking about whole home generators, talking about flow-through decks, and they're like, well, I get dollar for dollar back. It helps your marketability a whole lot, number one. And the more marketability you have, the more buyers you're going to bring in. So for me, I think those are good moves. And you get to enjoy it in the meantime. My least favorite thing is when people try to do upgrades right before they sell, where they don't get to enjoy it. So you have to go through all the pain and suffering and spend all the money to not enjoy it. So if it's your home.
Absolutely.
Do something great for you. And yeah, living on the water, those flow through docks are amazing.
Yeah.
They really stand up well. And I'm a big fan. And then the seawall is huge as well. So yes. I think he made a smart call on that. Mm-hmm.
So we were talking a little bit before the phone call about the psychology of the home buyer during election seasons. So then you mentioned that it does drop a little bit more because of that uncertainty, I guess, about who's going to be in charge of the country.
Absolutely. Right. And listen to the top economist and the CEO of a company called Keeping Current Matters, which is it's a real estate company, but they really look at this data to give us this information so we know how to pivot. And he was saying they've seen this, they're like, all we can go off of is data. And if data tells us, like, this is what we're looking at, then we can go off of that. Things can change, of course. But if data is telling us one thing, I'm going to go, all right, this is what the history has told us.
Yes.
Do we have another question?
We do have another question. David is on the line with a question. Go ahead, David.
Hey, David.
Good morning. Good morning. I'm enjoying the show. I listen quite a bit. I know you're in the business of buying and selling homes, and I'll probably be doing that eventually too. But right now, I know you have a lot of knowledge about insurance, and I'm in the early stages of building a waterfront home in a AE, DE, or VE, flood zone. So I know the insurance is going to be terrible. But, hopefully if you piqued my interest with the comment about the shutters. And I know that the insurance in Florida right now is so fragmented because you have to get your flood insurance through mm-hmm. Citizens, and then, you know, I'll probably get my regular insurance through USAA, but then I'll have to get my windstorm or hurricane insurance, if you will, probably through Citizens as well. And I know I can have good conversations with USAA about, you know, what can I do, what can I build, you know, how can I mitigate the high insurance, you know, keep it as low as I can. But I found Citizens to be, you know, customer service, since they're like the state run or whatever, they just don't seem to be very responsive or informational, you know what I'm saying, or helpful.
Yeah, so.
And I was wondering what kind of resources and what kind of advice, you know, since you do know a lot about insurance and waterfront homes, would you have about, you know, when you're, and I'm planning and building, you know, architecturally going to get with all that stuff, the home from scratch. So I want to do as much as I can to try and, you know, lessen my insurance so that I'll have to pay for the rest of my natural life, you know, while I'm living in that home.
Yeah. When you build your home, can your home be solely in the AE portion versus being like both on AE and VE, or are you going to have to be on both?
Unfortunately, no. Now, when I bought the lot several years ago, it was all in AE. But as you know, the mm-hmm. FEMA or whatever the people are that are in charge of that came around and redid everything, and when they redid it, they took me from AE to VE, so it's going to be 100% VE.
Okay, so I'm an AE and VE, so I'll definitely connect with you offline and give you some good insurance people I work with. So I go with a broker, and those brokers have reputations to uphold. And even if it's Citizens, uh-huh. they're the ones who put me with Citizens, and they're going to be my person I'm going through. And unfortunately, sometimes you just have to be annoying and keep calling, and nobody wants to be that person. Uh-oh. But when you're dealing with a storm and you're dealing with a claim, sometimes that has to happen. But having a good, trustworthy broker, I think, is key. And they will tell you, like, I really don't like this policy for you because of X, Y, and Z. Maybe you have to spend a little bit more to get this better policy with better customer service. Or they will say, hey, that those people are brand new. They're going to go out of business. I promise you. You got that low rate, and they're going to do that. Because that's what happened to me. I got a really low rate that I was excited about. And then after mm-hmm. talking more, it's like, I think you should spend a little bit more and go with a more reputable company. But yeah, we can definitely connect online. My insurance in VE is lower than my insurance downtown, which is crazy. But downtown is a rental versus the home in VE is a primary. So I was able to do things there. But people are shocked by how low I got my insurance. So we'll definitely connect offline and do it. And I'll tell you
all
my secrets.
And I'll make sure you have my you should have my cell phone number because of, you know, caller ID. So you can just send me a text, and then, you know, we can connect that way.
Yeah, and I'll give you some of my insurance people that are really, really
good.
What year
was your, if you don't mind me asking, what year was your VE home constructed?
21.
Okay, so did you build it yourself, I'm guessing?
Yes, and it's high. It's high as hurricane
impact
windows.
Okay, so you've been through exactly what I'm going through, yeah. You've been through exactly what I'm going through. Now, was it VE when you started construction, or were you caught up right in the middle of that? Because I know it was within the past
two, three,
4 years.
Yeah, some people thought I would be an AE, but I wasn't. I'm full VE. So, but yeah, we'll connect offline.
So you were VE from...
Yeah.
Okay, that sounds good. I appreciate that, and I'm enjoying the show. I'll let somebody else call in.
Yeah,
bye.
No, I will definitely connect on that. And on that point, so recently, and it's so crazy, the quotes out there, there was a beach townhome not on the water I was getting quotes for. And I sent it out to 5 different insurance agencies. And I got, the first quote I got was $30,000 a year. This is a 2-bedroom, 2-bath townhome not on the water. I continued to shop it out and get more and more quotes, and we got it down to $6,000 a year. That is a crazy difference. So I definitely recommend you call several people, and I do have some great insurance agents who are creative, and they think outside the box, and they keep looking for you. And they go, okay, this person told me no, let me get you a yes. Let me figure this out. And they tell you, like, hey, this is going to get you good for now, but you need to get that water heater updated in the next 6 months, or that's going to cause you an issue. So I definitely can hook you up with people that want to save you money, because that $30,000 to $6,000, that's insane. Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. Yeah. Thank you for the call, David. And talking a little bit more about insurance, what else do people need to know about insurance when they're moving into the market?
The newer the home, the cheaper it's going to be. And it doesn't really make sense, because some of these homes in East Hill have withstood every single storm, and it makes me mad. I'm like, they should get a credit for still standing. Mm-hmm. But the newer the home, the cheaper it's going to be, just due to the different codes and everything. So that certainly helps a whole lot. And just looking for different credits, hurricane clips are great. So are the shutters. Different things, but we just try to get you as low as we possibly can.
Absolutely. And you're very good at connecting people with other aspects of the home, too. So if they need a plumber, if they need an electrician, you're there for them.
Absolutely. Right. Diana can talk about that. She's constantly doing that.
We have a good list of, you know, plumbers that we recommend, roofing contractors. Recently, you know, inspections are what gets us when it comes to buying a home. So we have to have that list prepared, you know, people that are capable of doing the job at a good price. So we're prepared with that. I know recently I had a roofing situation where the owner didn't have it permitted. I had to find someone quick in order for us to get to closing. And thankfully I found one of a great roofing contractors that Christina also works with. And he was able to get it done in time and done at a good price. So, I mean, we're prepared for anything.
And that's the whole key of being a good realtor, because there are things that are going to pop up.
Yes.
You're dealing with insurance, changing the rules on you every other day, lenders, interest rates, and it's all about getting people to closing. Mm-hmm. And that is where we come in. That's where we shine, where it's like, okay, this is what happened. How can we figure out a solution? So the people we work with are like us, where they pick up, they're like, I'm there today. I'm there today. And when you're in the middle of a transaction, having to sleep on it is so stressful and painful. Like, we need answers today. And it's like, why wait? Why wait if we can get it done? Because they're making big moves. They're possibly, you know, buying a home in another state and could lose their earnest money, money on inspections. And if we can't figure out what's happening here, it could hurt them. So we're very, very quick to just get it done.
Absolutely. Christina Leavenworth from Levin Reinke is our guest at 850-437-1620 if you have any additional questions for her. Talking about interest rates, with the interest rates coming down, are you seeing anything, any impacts from that?
So the weird thing is interest rates actually came down before the Fed made their decision, but the Fed made their decision and then everyone goes, oh my gosh, interest rates went down and started coming to the table. And as I said, I think on the last show, it's buyer psychology, seeing that and hearing that and seeing it in the headlines. So we have seen it pick up quite a bit this week as far as our listings getting more showings. I think it's a combination. I think it's kids have been in school a bit. People are used to their routines and kind of simmering down. Interest rates have gone down a bit, and they're ready to make a move and feeling more positive about the real estate market.
Yeah. I'd seen a stat recently saying that most homes are spending about 60 days on the market. Is that still pretty accurate?
Yeah, that's pretty accurate. Okay. For sure. I mean, we have some that move the day they hit the market with multiple offers. We still have that. Mm-hmm. However, they are beautiful and stunning and priced right and ready to go. But other homes are pretty darn good. They look great. We're doing all the things. We're doing all the marketing. It's just that is the days on market. That's how long it takes to sell your house. And we prepare our sellers for that, letting them know and doing everything we can in the meantime. Yeah. I'm a big believer, like an object in motion stays in motion. And just doing the work, God rewards good work and hard work. So it's like, even though no one comes to the open house, we're going to do it. Mm-hmm. We're going to try. And we're going to post it everywhere because it's better than doing nothing.
Absolutely. How effective are open houses? I always wondered about that.
Diana does a ton of open houses.
I do quite a bit of them. I do just about two or three every weekend. And it's just, you know, staying out there, making the home open to anybody. You never know who's going to come by. It might, even if it's just a neighbor, at least a neighbor might know a friend or a family member that might be interested in moving in. So even if I don't have anyone stopping by, I know that I still left it open. It's just bringing in that energy, hoping to get it sold pretty soon. And like Christina said, an object in motion stays in motion. And I think we're really big believers of that on our team. So we try our best to, you know, promote it on social media, make videos of it. It's just one of those things that I think it's a big service to our sellers.
Yeah.
It's momentum. And also all the websites, Zillow, Realtor, their algorithm, when you have an open house in there, it helps bump it to the top.
Yes.
Mm. And I have Zillow reps. Well, I first just thought this. I was like, I know this is how this works. But then I have had reps confirm saying, yes, absolutely. If you have changes to your listing, if there's a price drop, if you put an open house, if you switch the photos around, the algorithm goes ding, ding, ding. Something just happened that we think that our viewers want to see. And the open house helps that.
Mm-hmm.
And also people have fear of loss. So if you have an open house and there's a lot of people there, someone interested might go, oh, I'm making an offer today.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Again, it's all about psychology. So we're willing to try that. And we do that. And it's better than doing nothing.
Absolutely. Yes. So it's just another tool in the marketing box.
Yes.
And I do have some sellers that say, I absolutely don't want an open house. And we respect that. Mm-hmm. They say, we live here. We don't want to leave for 2 hours. We've had bad experience with other agents in the past. And we say, no problem. We can market your home other ways. But if people are open to it, we like doing them.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. So what other tools do you have to help people market their homes?
So many. We have a huge database of 50,000 people. So your home hits the market. Everyone gets emailed. We are the most followed real estate team in the Northwest Florida, I think with 10,000 followers. So things get posted all the time there. Videos talking about the home, just letting people know it's out there. And also our relationships with lenders and other realtors, constantly calling them and saying, hey, do you have any buyers? This would be great for a first-time home buyer. Or did you see this listing we have? It has a apartment on the first floor that would be great for a multi-generational like family living situation, because no one reads the descriptions, sadly. Mm-hmm. So you have to sell it. So calling them. And we also do brokers opens where we bring them fancy food and drinks and say, come on over and we'll give you a $100 gift card to get more agents in there so they can tell their buyers about it.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I think positioning the house correctly is one thing that you touched on there. So Having a good description, having good photos of the house.
Yes. Yeah. Just recently, I started writing love letters from the house to the potential buyer. And it was really fun to write, where it's like, dear potential buyer, let me tell you about myself. I can't wait for you to move in here. You're going to enjoy the sunsets on my dock and the hot tub in the back. And it goes into it. And let me tell you about all the upgrades I did to myself. Just hope maybe someone reads the description so mm-hmm. it's not as boring as the rest of them.
Yeah.
So trying things like that, just thinking outside the box.
That is awesome. Yeah. So what is the market like right now in greater Pensacola? Is it a lot of homes on the market?
I mean, we have inventory. We definitely have more inventory than we've had in years, and we see that. However, homes are moving. It's just taking a little longer and getting it to the right price. And we follow up after every single showing, and if they're not making an offer, we're calling them, those agents, and saying, well, what home did they make an offer on? What home did they like? Because we see those comps, but then we call the seller saying, okay, this is the home they ultimately decided on, so they can know, okay, this is who I'm losing out to. But it really is kind of a next man standing type of market. That other home goes off the market, you're the next man standing at that price point, in that area, and then your people are going to come. And that's really why it's taking around 45 to 60 days to sell a home that's positioned right.
Mm-hmm. So somebody reaches out to you, wants to sell a home. What's your consultation process like?
Oh, I wanted to talk. It's so easy. Like, yes. It won't take long. If you want to sell your house, we can have it on the market in 3 or 4 days.
Mm.
Maybe less. We probably could call in favors and get photos and do it even less. Because I was thinking, whenever I do something, it just seems so hard. Like, it's new people. I have to do this. I have to do that. And sometimes it feels overwhelming. And I was thinking, I was like, man, we don't make it overwhelming. It's so easy. Like, you could call 850-378-1260. Someone will pick up right now and probably could be at your house by this afternoon. And we go over there. We tell you how to stage. We set up photos. We get it listed. And we go.
And what's the website?
BestRealtorsInPensacola.com, 378-1260.
All right, Christina Leverwith and Diana, thank you for joining us.
Thank you.